are back by popular demand. This episode has been demanded amongst the popular people.
A lot of popular people called us up. They're like, my clique of cheerleaders and athletes were talking the other day.
Big Sean, Jay-Z, Kanye.
Yeah.
They said, ain't nobody messing with my clique.
So.
And so. So we're back with part two of The Floaties.
The Floaties.
Film.
Did we ever mention what day it is?
Oh, it's Valentine's
Day. This is our Valentine to you. It will not be Valentine's Day by the time we finish this episode.
Nope. No, because it's got like 11 minutes away.
Yeah
so, well, so happy Valentine's that tells you
Day. We all left our girlfriends at home, so like I can't take you out tonight. You have to stay here, Olivia Wilde. Like, we can't bring you
I had this on thought the boat. At some point during the day, what if this is the last Valentine's Day I spend single? And then, I thought, man, I really got to live this day up then. So we recorded an episode of the boat.
Yeah. I said, what's the most exciting, adventurous thing I can do? And I said, let's tread some deep water.
Do either of you have time hop?
No.
Nope. I know what it is, but.
Most days, I love time hop.
Not so much on this one.
Today, it's not the day. Let's just say, when I woke up this morning, I sat on a horse, on top of the horse trailer in a lawn chair, read a book for 2 hours.
that sentence turned real different directions. I sat on a horse. I sat on a chair on top of the horse barn.
the horse trailer. And then I walked 11 miles. It's been...
Introspective day.
Yeah,
all right.
It has been. So, gonna push on. John David, take it away before I have a breakdown.
Jump right in. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go ahead before we get into our top five movies of the year. We listed 10 through 6 in our past episode. Now we're doing 5 through 1. We're gonna go ahead and give out our best actor, actress, and director. So we will start with best actress, if that is okay with you guys.
Yes.
And we're going to jump right in. My best actress, I'm not going to give a lot of explanation. It's a girl we have previously discussed. Her name is Emily Blunt. She was in a film called Into the Woods, and she was absolutely fantastic. Turns out she's an awesome singer, plays a difficult role because it's not like an incredibly showy role. It's not an over-the-top role. You have to be just right with the way it comes off. Yeah. And it's kind of like just a really kind of everyday, normal kind of woman who's existing, if you know Into the Woods at all, it's all these crazy fairy tale madness, and she's like the normal person in the midst of the insanity, and it's one of my favorite characters from the show, and she just absolutely killed it. She was by far the best part of the movie. She has a song called Moments in the Woods, which just, she killed it. Beautiful voice. Emily Blunt. And also, rewarded for a great career that you've had. You haven't received an Oscar yet. We believe you will one day. We're all big fans of you here on the boat.
Plus, you married to Jonathan Krasinski.
Which is awesome.
I'm proud of that guy.
Yeah, he married up. I mean, do I wish
that's an inspiration right there. Jim Halpert can pull, first of all, Pam Beasley. And then whatever her name is in real life.
Emily Blunt.
I almost said Olivia Wilde.
Nope. No,
she's married to Sudeikis.
Yeah. Sudeikis. And then Taron Killam is married to Kobe Smulders. How does this happen? Listen, we're funny. All three of us are funny guys.
I think I'm pretty funny.
In odd ways, just like all three of them.
Like, we have potential.
So do the four females that are listening.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Oh, all right, Zach, go ahead with your actress.
My best actress I will not spend any time on because this will be talked about a little bit later. The reason I give it to her is because... Never mind. Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, best actress.
All right. There we go.
What's yours, Colby?
I don't guess I can discuss it a lot. I wanted to go a little off the reservation for this one, and I don't even know this actress, but I saw her movie called The Babadook.
Oh, you saw The Babadook?
I did.
I want to see that.
Her name is Essie Davis, and she is the lead in this movie. And she, for a movie that solely focuses on her and her child, she had a lot of work to do, and she nailed it. Like, she's got, like, this, like, these mental problems, and I think the movie's kind of a big metaphor for that, but very, very good performance. And it's not your typical horror movie where, you know, just a lot of blood and stuff. I don't think there's any blood in this one, actually. It's very...
Very well reviewed, too.
Yeah, it got a lot of high praise, and I really liked the movie, and I really liked her performance in it.
All right. So my best actor, this is also kind of just rewarding an actor that had an awesome year this year and a history of great films I've loved. And it's Miles Teller. I'm not even going to get into like a long discussion. We've already had it. So Miles Teller, you did such a good job this year. Congratulations. Here's your Floaty.
You go, dude.
All right. Go ahead, Zachary.
My best actor is one who had fallen from grace in the eyes of everyone.
No, he
and
did not.
Including the
Yep. It's
the
like...
IRS.
Oh.
That actor is
Okay.
That actor is Mr. Nicolas Cage
mm-hmm.
from the movie Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Joe. I couldn't quite put that movie on my list.
Okay.
It was a little bit too similar to a movie that was on my list last year.
Called Mud, I assume.
One word, three letter title. but no, Nick Cage was awesome in this movie. He channeled his inner crazy, which he has done in most of his best movies.
He does in most of daily life.
Yeah.
I hope he's the most normal person in real life.
I wanted to give that movie a little bit of love because I knew it wouldn't come up anywhere else. And it's also another one that's on Netflix, so go watch that movie.
Alrighty. Best actor, Colby.
Best actor. I could easily give this to several people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you better
McConaughey
give it to one who I've got in mind.
I could give it to McConaughey. I could give it to Neil Patrick Harris for. I mean, I just loved him that much, but that's not what we're about here. I could give it to Jim Carrey. My first choice was Tom Hardy because he was in a movie called Locke and he was Bob Saganowski. But this award goes to one of my new, and I wouldn't even say new, I would say, I guess now he's finally getting recognition for what he's done.
Dane DeHaan is Harry Osborn.
Yes. That was actually Jamie Foxx for like
finally getting recognition.
I'm Jamie.
That's the most comic.
It is Jake Gyllenhaal. Who is
thank you.
For now? He's like a 3-time champion for me on the floaties. He got mm-hmm. end of watch
oh,
and
yeah.
Prisoners.
I forgot three peats.
Yeah, and
he
I mean
he got Prisoners. Hugh Jackman didn't.
No, he was he.
Gyllenhaal was way better.
I didn't see it.
You need to watch all three of these. Well, all four of the movies. I already mentioned one he was in, which was Enemy, which he plays two parts. He was also in Nightcrawler, another film I loved.
Film that was so good, but just didn't quite make my list.
See, and that is, I
liked it a lot.
I love this kid. I love all his movies. Even Nobody Liked Bubble Boy. I love Bubble Boy.
Brokeback Mountain.
And see that, and there's everybody says it's good. I'll take your word for it. So that I the only one I haven't seen. He was in like Love and Other Drugs. Was that it?
Yeah,
he was in one of those movies.
Yeah, Hathaway or Naked a lot. Apparently.
Right, and I'll take everybody's word for it. It was an okay movie, but man. Dude's been on a streak.
Somehow saw that with my sister.
Whoa,
that weird.
It's bad.
Right?
It's a bad day.
So yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal,
Daniel Powder.
I think in terms of actors that are going to get huge very, very soon, he's one of them. He's already pretty big.
I mean, the man dated Taylor Swift. But okay, he's an A-lister.
To me, he's approaching like that status. Leonardo. He's going to have that role. I really am really banking on it next year. Southpaw.
Southpaw looks awesome. Oh. Sounds awesome.
I think he's gonna. That's gonna be his one that puts him in the history books. Anyway, Jake Gyllenhaal, three-peat, the Michael Jordan of
movies
of my floaties.
It is funny with both Gyllenhaal and DiCaprio, and you can even throw McConaughey in there. They are. Well, two of them are the biggest thing in Hollywood, but another one is right there on the cusp. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like Hollywood doesn't quite know what to do with them. Because it seems like with the actors that all of a sudden get big, the first thing they do is say, let's stick them in a superhero movie. That's another thing with, like, Miles Teller. Like, that's what they do to actors who are big or are on the come up. They're just, the only thing they know to do is shoehorn them into your superhero or your next sci-fi franchise or whatever. Those are three who now McConaughey has obviously made his fair share of just crap, which could be just as bad. But
it's been a long time.
It has been a while.
And that's I think because Leo and Jake started out so young.
Their careers are very similar, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
I've been saying this. I really wanted to get to this point this year, that he's following along that path that I think he's going to be, he will be one of the most respected actors in the next 10, 20 years. That, I mean, he will be just like Leo, like De Niro.
He's like a mixture of kind of Leo, but he's like the most normal version of Shia LaBeouf that there is.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can tell, especially with Nightcrawler and with his other recent films, the guy goes full method.
He does. And his character's always distinct. Like, you can always tell him apart there. He's not the same person in every movie.
He is what LaBeouf wanted to be.
Yeah.
Basically.
And, yeah. I mean, he's still, like, so young. He's so young. I mean, he made Donnie Darko when he was, like, 20. Or 18.
Yeah. And he looks even younger.
And he's on a roll.
But no, he's
I mean, well, he's about 30 now.
Yeah. 31, 32, I think.
Somewhere
around there.
And
he's got Southpaw coming out, which I am.
Is that the boxing movie?
Written by Sons of Anarchy creator Kurt Sutter. Directed by Training Day director Antoine Fuqua.
Wow.
So, like, big names wrapped around this one. And I'm super stoked about it. That's my best actor.
All right. My director is another one I'm not going to get into now because I'm assuming you and I will be getting into it later. Wait. Okay. It's Richard Linklater for Boyhood. That's all I'm going to say.
That is also my best director of the year.
Wait. Hold on to it. We'll discuss it.
Okay.
All right.
You can talk about it a little bit.
Oh, okay. What a great director.
Here's the thing. You know?
What a great man.
I will go ahead and say that Boyhood did not quite make my list. It's another one. I liked it a lot. But he, far and away, gets best director to me just on accomplishment alone. You filmed this movie. Basically, they made 12 movies. Shorts, I guess, is really
and
what
then splice them
and
together
then put them all together
into one.
What a risk! Because what if
somebody died
or like whatever? Like, what if that kid turned out to just be a total nutcase. Like, what an investment to make in a kid. Because you don't...
I mean, it's...
I've seen some of the cutest little kids... By the time they're 18, evil
people.
Well, by the time they're 18, they are just some of the ugliest human beings I've seen.
Well, I mean, this one wasn't real cute as he got. I mean, he was normal looking, but it's not like he turned into like a.
Well, he doesn't have your classic Hollywood young guy look. I'll put it this way: I don't know how much work he's gonna have after this one.
Yeah, or that he wants.
Yeah, even. Or that. I don't know what the guy wants. But I have been a Linklater fan for years. Bernie is one that is on Netflix that he made. And
big one for you last year.
People need to go and see. People need to watch that one.
I will be watching a lot more of his. Because he also directed School of Rock, which is a
School of Rock, which is awesome. And plus, Dave the Confused.
Okay. You got something?
Best director. I mean, I would give it to Christopher Nolan, but I'm tired of talking about him. I'm going to end up talking about him later.
Yeah.
But it would go to Christopher Nolan. I am giving it to somebody who deserves credit for making one of the most creative movies this year and just got completely overlooked.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Oh, I think I may know what this is.
This director, he's one of my favorites, David Fincher for Gone Girl. And while I'm not the craziest fan of this movie, I did really like it. But he, and I know me and Zach have talked about this before.
Yeah.
He shot some of the cleanest, just most haunting shots in that movie that were just incredible. Of Ben Affleck, just like the way he plays with shadows and lighting, it was a beautiful movie. Even though the story was a tad crazy.
And by a tad, he means a lot.
psychos.
I heard somebody the other day compare David Fincher to Bill Belichick. Doesn't matter what season it is, he's going to have 12-4. Like, that's the worst it's going to be. He will always put something solid.
Even
the stuff that is not his best... is still better than most.
I completely agree, because I remember when Girl with the Dragon Tattoo came out, that was the big thing, and now it's kind of been forgotten about. That's a good movie.
I love that movie.
Are they going to make...
They are at some point.
I don't know if he's going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Fincher's going to stay with it. But then again, I don't...
Yeah.
See, I read the first novel. I haven't read the other ones. Maybe it's one of those series where they need a different director for each movie, just because each one has a different style, a different feel.
I know they're trying to get Daniel Craig to line up with Elizabeth.
Yeah,
and he's got Bond.
Yeah,
so that,
that takes over your life a good little bit. All right, so those are our big three. Non-movie awards, but you know, our other floaties that aren't for the movies. And I believe at this point we're gonna go ahead and just jump right into the movies, correct?
Top five.
All right, number five is Whiplash. Not getting into it. There it is.
Wow.
Again,
Whiplash.
I'll say this because if you heard the Whiplash episode, you heard me freak out and not shut up. Like, I didn't let anybody else talk on that episode. I listened back to it. I was a tad bit embarrassed about apparently how much I loved it. Here's what I thought. Whenever I'm doing these movies, this is what comes to my mind. These are the movies that are my favorite movies.
Okay.
Whiplash is not a movie I'm going to watch over and over and over again. I probably will see it again. I will want to see it again. But there were several movies that came out this year that are going to be movies that, like, I'm going to buy and that I'm not going to be feeling the best and I'm going to put in this movie. Or ones that I'll be like, I have to show this movie to other people. I don't know. It's just like there were movies that I enjoy watching more. So that is not taking away from any merit when it comes to Whiplash, but it's number five for that reason. And the other choices, they're very much like me choices. You'll understand completely once you hear them.
Number five for me is one that we have discussed recently, but at the time that we discussed it, none of us had seen it.
Okay.
That movie is Birdman. Birdman, Birdman. Starring Michael Keaton. Directed by Alejandro González Iñárritu.
Ah, yeah.
the rest
love of... Love everything else he's done, too.
I have seen Babel. That's the only other one of
and his I've seen. And you do not like Babel, correct?
Do not. Nope. It's like Crash. But Zach Galifianakis is in this. Edward Norton. Emma Stone.
Who's that?
And that's Naomi Watts. Wife. Those are your biggest people in it. Galifianakis actually surprised me in this.
He was good.
He was good. This movie is
crazy.
It's... I don't know if it's the craziest movie on my list, but...
It's crazy.
This one and there's another one that are running a close race. I'll just say that. It's very Black Swanish, like I expected. I get why people either love it or hate it. I think there will be very few people who see this that will be middle ground. I think the average person who sees this will be middle ground. I think actually the average person that sees this will hate it.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
Oh, definitely.
But it's crazy, and I just love the fact that Michael Keaton was back. It's another year, another movie about the industry, except this one was... This one stands apart from the rest. Stands apart from The Artist and Argo and the other movies that have been kind of about movie making and about the arts.
Okay. A few things that this movie did. This movie reinforced my hatred for method actors. Not as people. I just never want to have to work with one. I don't think I could handle that. And I don't think I could ever be one.
I couldn't.
I mean, that's just... Edward Norton. And I'm for... Let's put it this way.
Don John?
Yeah, that's about...
Well, okay. or even like, all right, Liam Neeson... I just said Liam Neeson. I'm so sorry. Daniel Day-Lewis, because Liam Neeson wasn't initially attached. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, I get it.
But Daniel Day-Lewis is method for
everything. He is, but anybody who's playing Abraham Lincoln, like, I get it. Yeah. You know? That kind of, you're playing a real person. But then Edward Norton plays an actor in this, does a brilliant job of playing... the most annoying method actor.
I almost wondered if it was... Does he have that reputation?
Yeah.
Now see,
he's method.
What I read Ed Norton was... Is method. I read very about this, like...
See, that makes me like him even more.
See, and that's... I thought this was funny. Yeah. A little trivia bit for this is that the stories kind of mirror the people that's in it.
Well, obviously.
Except Emma Stone.
Right. We don't know.
I don't think she does a lot of drugs. Never got that impression.
I don't think she's a burnout either.
No.
Probably not. She seems kind of like a happy person. Mm-hmm.
But Michael Keaton made a successful superhero movie in 1992.
Well, there's one other person on this planet that I think could have played this part. And it been the same, had the same weight, and that's Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Not be the same movie at all if it weren't for Michael Keaton
and his reputation.
That's parallel with, and Edward Norton is notorious for being very hard to work with. And it's just
he's so method.
Well, and he also got screwed by the comic book.
Yeah.
Movies in general, so yeah, that's also funny that he's a part of it.
And Emma Stone is part of the Spider-Mans. Did Naomi Watts do a superhero movie?
She was in King Kong.
These are all people who have had their flirtations with huge blockbuster comic book-ish movies. That's interesting.
It has...
Zach Galifianakis was Batman.
That was my favorite Batman.
It has... some very interesting commentary on the state of films in general, basically, that I would like to touch on at a later date.
Yes.
Okay.
Because one of the funniest scenes to me was whenever the supporting actor in the play that Michael Keaton's character is putting on gets hit in the head, obviously.
It's new
him and his agent, Zach Galifianakis, are going through people who they could get to come and play the part, and they're naming off all these people. Mm-hmm. And it's like Robert Downey Jr., and he's like, no, they've got another Iron Man
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner, he's in the new Avengers. Yeah. Michael Fassbender, he's doing X-Men. It is funny that they're naming off all these...
like he's critically acclaimed.
...actors who are...
doing superhero movies.
Yeah.
Let me say this with Birdman. Birdman is a movie that the last part is better than the first part.
Yeah.
100% agree.
That's why you have to stick through the first hour. If you make it through the first hour, the next 55 minutes are really good. Maybe subtract the last 5 minutes.
I'll say this. I didn't love it. I'm not mad it's on your list. I'm not. This is, again, not taking away from the quality of the movie. It just was not an enjoyable film watching experience to me. I did not enjoy this movie. So for me to put it on like my favorite movies, couldn't do it.
See, I'm definitely midway because I got... very annoyed at the jazz music kicking in at those times. I got very annoyed at...
I don't know what that was symbolic for.
I don't know if it was symbolic. I think it's a very, very surreal movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the parts that are not... where you're like, is this real or is it not? The feeling of the whole movie is very, very surreal. And I think part of it is playing with the idea of, like, movie cliches in
yeah.
life being, like, a film. You know what I mean? Maybe, like, we're modeling our lives to achieve fame, to achieve what people in the movies have.
Yeah.
So I think that part of it was playing with that. This was... It's an abstract movie.
Yeah. It's funny because I know John David and my opinions on this movie are very raw at the moment because we just saw this today.
Yeah, you gotta let it simmer.
Yeah, and it's
fine.
I enjoyed the parts where they were in the play on stage.
Oh, those were excellent.
I enjoyed, but the movie really didn't do anything for me until spoiler alert.
Don't spoil it. Just.
Can we do an episode about Birdman?
Yes.
Can we do a 25-30 minute episode
okay.
about Birdman?
We well, yeah.
Okay.
We'll
all right. So, yeah. Number five for me, Birdman.
Hey, not for the kids. Not for the kids.
Yeah. No. Not family. Not.
Don't.
Actually, you know what? I don't recommend this movie.
I didn't quite realize what all would have been going on.
Yeah, me neither. You
know, I was taken aback.
Lots
it was,
of wizardry.
It wasn't for me.
This is weirdly one of the most normal abstract movies that there are.
Yeah, yeah. I give it for abstract
mm-hmm.
for the type of film it is. It's fairly accessible.
And the coolest thing about it is it's done in one continuous take. Now, obviously, they didn't film a 2-hour movie.
Over just one course of 2 hours.
In real time, but
each scene...
The way it is edited, it is as if it were.
And I can't imagine
right.
how difficult that would be.
But it'll be... But it's still... The scenes themselves will be like a 20 or 30 minute scene that
oh,
is
yeah.
filmed. Because I would read...
Oh, they hated working with the director.
Because they rehearsed it like it was a play.
Yep.
So that they would come in and do it. And the problem is that if you messed up... Then it's another 30-minute... Everyone hates you because
yeah.
it's another 30-minute take.
Oh,
yeah.
I did read where Michael Keaton and Edward Norton had a running tally on the screw-ups. Emma Stone had the most.
Oh, yeah, and...
Galifianakis had the fewest.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's
well,
funny.
That is funny.
But he kind of had the smallest role
yeah,
out of those.
Did.
But
yeah.
I don't have the big ones.
But it's not like Emma Stone had a huge one.
No, I think her role was actually smaller.
Let me just say this really quickly. This is coming from the man who thinks he's going to marry Emma Stone whenever they meet under the moonlight. I'm a huge Emma Stone fan. I'm in love with her. She did a good job in this movie. I think that we love Emma Stone, and this movie got a lot of attention, and that's where all her buzz is coming from.
Yeah, I forget that she was nominated.
So we're sorry for Gwen Stacy. So
yeah,
we'll give you this.
Give you this Oscar nomination. We'll give you this. I'm not mad about it.
Sorry, movie.
But
was
like,
this her first nomination?
Oh yeah, she got a Golden Globe nomination for Easy A.
Oh, not for The Help.
Nope, for Easy A.
She won a SAG award.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead.
My number five is, it'll be a quick one. Conveniently enough, it is a tie between me and John David. It is Whiplash.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, no surprise there. Had a whole episode on it.
All right. My number four is a movie I will talk a little more about. It's a movie called The Wind Rises. It's a movie by Hayao Miyazaki. In my very, very top film directors, Japanese filmmaker, makes cartoons that Americans can only dream about making.
I've got to watch the Miyazaki film.
Okay.
You need to, okay.
No, I was in Best Buy, and I saw Howl's Moving Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Should we start with that one?
That's not a bad one to start with. That's my favorite. Spirited Away is considered his best. Okay.
That's the magnum opus.
Yeah. For you two, because the one that I, especially you, Colby, the one I think you'd be most into to start out with is Princess Mononoke.
Can you
spell that?
Yeah, you write it.
I'm just kidding. it's actually fairly phonetic. Anyway, Wind Rises.
My new band.
Fairly phonetic.
Mononoke.
All right, Wind Rises. Normally, Miyazaki's films are just like straight up fantasy movies. No holds barred. It's like people go into spirit world and all sorts of things. Wind Rises is not. Wind Rises is a historical epic, really, taking place in World War II from the viewpoint of the Japanese and the guy who created the bomber planes for Japan. What's interesting, and it explores the idea of he's not really a person who's in support of war, but this is like what he does. So it's an interesting dilemma within himself.
Mm-hmm.
There are fantasy elements, but they're very much in metaphor, and they're obviously done in metaphor. It's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen, just visually beautiful, with a voice cast that includes Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci.
Yes.
I don't remember the rest, but other famous people. It's just a beautiful, wonderful movie. And very different from the others that he's done, but I was very, very moved. Okay. So go
for
it. Has
he ever done a live action movie?
Nope. He only works in animation.
I respect that.
I feel as though he's a reclusive fellow that does not like to be seen.
I'll say this. In Japan, he's Steven Spielberg.
Spirited
Away is the highest grossing movie in Japan. It's higher than Titanic or Avatar or anything. That movie has grossed more money. So for us, it's kind of like, oh, you're cool and artsy if you know Miyazaki. Over there, no, he's Walt Disney. That's what he is. He is Walt Disney in Japan.
I feel like he's like a straight up white guy. Just like American, moved over.
Yeah.
Kind of went under the name Miyazaki.
Oh. Well, no, he's very Japanese. See him, he's
an Irishman.
Yeah. No. He's rather Japanese. All right.
Okay. Number four for me is a little movie that we have talked a little bit about. Has not made anyone's list yet. Don't know if it will. When Colby and I went to the theaters to see together, and that movie is Gone Girl, directed by David Fincher, based on the novel by Gillian Flynn.
Pushed by Sapphire.
And, this starring Ben Affleck might be my least favorite part of the movie, to be honest with you. He was good, just... Rosamund Pike, one of my best actors. Neil Patrick Harris is in this. Most surprising part, other than... Excluding plot, obviously, was that Tyler Perry was really good in this movie.
He was.
He was really good. I thought that he was going to get some buzz for supporting actor.
My favorite joke from the Golden Globes this year was when Tina Fey said, Tyler Perry was wonderful in Gone Girl this year. In fact, he was so good that he is making a sequel called Girl, I Thought You Was Gone.
That's funny. I don't think that any movie I saw this year got as much of an auditory reaction out of me. That is the most politically correct way I can say it.
I believe I can agree with you on that. I think we were the same.
Because there are two movies here.
And let's be real clear. This is a movie, on the surface, seems like a very Zach and Colby traditional watch. I mean, this looks like a must-see, definitely.
Exactly.
It is not that way all the way through it.
Nope. It goes from being your mystery whodunit, was it the husband?
Typical Fincher.
Yeah, exactly.
To every man's horror movie.
And it's funny the reaction that people get. Like, Rosamund Pike got my best actress. I hated that woman in this movie. And that's why I gave her the award, because she was able to make me hate her. But, like, my two sisters watched the movie and she's their hero.
Right. Oh. It seems like that movie.
I mean, I know what happens in the scene.
It seems like movie.
No, not...
Not just for the one scene.
No, God, not for that.
Okay, I was disturbed.
It's a tad feminist. A tad meaning a lot.
Yeah.
A lot meaning...
Well, but... Hey,
I don't think it paints her out to be a good character, though.
No, but it's feminist. It feels like.
I was going to say, I kind of took it... The way I took it was not because... Well, you see the movie and you'll know. Now, when we are talking about family friendly.
a lot.
This is the least family friendly movie on my list. Probably on any list. That's
saying something.
But it's also Fincher, who has, what has he made? One family friendly movie? Benjamin Button?
And that one's of Social Network. Eh. I mean, they're not family friendly, but like, they're as close as he's going to get.
Yep. So, number four, Gone Girl.
I like it. My number four is, and we have had some abstract movies, none so much as this one. I don't know of anybody else that's seen it. Zach Mahan.
Did not get around to watching it. I know what it is, but I really wanted to, and we'll see it sometime in the near future. Okay.
This movie is Under the Skin.
I'm a pass.
John David, you pass.
I know.
It's actually not as bad as you think.
Mm-hmm, that's bad enough.
Okay. It's written and directed by... Well, it's directed by Jonathan Glazer. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Written by Jonathan Glazer, Walter Campbell, and novel by Michael Faber. Starring, literally, Scarlett Johansson.
And nobody else.
And that's enough for me. The concept in this movie is of about the most original I've ever heard. So, the plot is, and this is how they got me to watch it, because, and I don't even know why I actually watched it. I heard it got a lot of attention recently, and
fairly polarizing.
Yeah, and it just seemed like one of those movies I needed to see, and it was one of the earliest ones I watched going into this list. And essentially, the plot is Scarlett Johansson drives around in Ireland, I believe, or Scotland, Ireland.
I think it's Scotland.
One of the two.
Ireland.
One
of it's Ireland.
It's Ireland.
It's Ireland.
I think so.
And she. But picks up
Wikipedia off to find out.
Yeah, she picks up these random strange fellows who are actually not actors. they put the director Jonathan Glazer put cameras in and around the van.
Yeah.
And they drew in actual people, like with Scarlett Johansson, and they had her. She was disguised not too bad because you could clearly tell it's her, but she had put on a tad of weight, and she had a wig on. And
Scotland.
Yeah. So she would draw these people walking down the road, and she would attempt to give them a ride, which is a good plot to the movie because she is like seducing these people to. Now we can either get to a point where we spoil the plot.
Go ahead. Nobody's gonna watch this other than me.
Well, in fact, they don't need to watch it. Probably.
Pretty true.
So go
honestly.
Ahead. I have to because I'm never gonna. Because
I already know the plot. Like I know.
Yeah, you know. So. Scarlett Johansson is an alien.
Yeah.
This is one of the most crazy, and it's not really that crazy, alien movies I've ever seen. It's probably my favorite, almost, I could almost say. Basically, she takes these men she seduces back to this apartment where they literally enter a new dimension. But you don't know that because you have no idea what's going on. Like, absolutely none.
Yeah.
So these people, they walk across this room to this crazy music. The soundtrack was what really, really hooked me on this movie. It was produced, or the soundtrack was scored by a girl named Mika Levy. She has a band called Mikachu. but yeah, I downloaded the soundtrack because it was that good.
Okay.
It's... The scenes where she takes these guys to this other dimension are the creepiest things ever. And it's just like pitch black, nothing. And they'll be walking across this room and all of a sudden like the guys will start like sinking into this black goo stuff, like black water. And you have no idea what's going on. Like none. I was very not into this movie for the first half of it. And then you start kind of getting into it. Basically, she's...
You start figuring out what it...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, she's like eating these people. Or she's like living off their energy. Whatever she can... However she does. And basically, it spends a lot of time showing you that she's like very not human. But it doesn't like explicitly say it. In the end, she is running... She gets lost in the woods, and this park ranger tries to rape her. And he ends up like...
Probably doesn't go well for him.
No. Well, he ends up hurting her. I don't know how she gets away. I can't remember how she gets away exactly. He hurts her. And at that point, she starts like peeling away at her skin. And she is this completely black alien. And it's weird. But it was so creepy and cool. This was not a movie I expected to like a lot. I really liked it.
Two questions. First, would you agree? I read someone said that this was like if Stanley Kubrick had a low budget and decided to make an alien movie. Would that be what?
I can definitely agree with that.
Okay. Number two. What does it say about Scarlett Johansson that she's been doing a lot of these non-human parts lately?
I don't know. That she's not human?
She was Siri.
She was a little too pretty.
Last year, then there was this.
Did Lucy, which is...
Lucy, which... towed the line. I feel like somebody just needs to get the girl a hug and I'll be happy to do it.
That and I get the feeling that she's, because she like started. I think her first big one was Lost in Translation.
That really put her on the map.
Oh,
and like, I mean, she was there before, but that really put her on the map.
I think she's at this point. She's like, I'm not just Black Widow. I'm also an actress, and I'm pretty good. And
she is pretty good.
This movie, it's one of the strangest movies I've ever seen, and it's.
I will never, ever, ever.
Watch it sometime soon.
I'll send you the soundtrack, some of the soundtrack, okay. And you have to listen to it because it's so creepy. But
all right,
just
no.
Yeah, don't. I would not watch this unless you really if or you're by yourself and need a good movie.
Like, if you're into artsy stuff, like, I haven't even seen it. I watched the trailer, and I know that, like, you've got to be in the ambiguous artsy things.
That is not my kind of film. My number three is Into the Woods. This one's real obvious. I'm not going to spend a long time explaining it. It is an adaptation of my very, very top favorite musicals. High school memory. Did this show in high school. In a brilliant, faithful, beautifully acted and sung and directed film. They just did everything right. Like, there was not a bum note to me. The people who I know who weren't crazy about it, also probably wouldn't. Well, they also probably wouldn't be crazy about the show, which
it needed,
I get.
It needed the narrator.
Did you
I
see
have
it?
No idea. No, that was a part of a Key and Peele sketch they were doing commentary on. Okay. Richard Sherman was doing. No, Marshawn Lynch was doing commentary on Into the Woods. It needed the narrator. That's what was missing.
I will have to see this skit now.
It was pretty funny.
Okay. It did not need the narrator. They very successfully sort of did away with the onstage narrator. Made it work beautifully. I mean, I don't have a lot to say. It was just, this was the movie that I walked out with just a really big smile on my face. Like, I was like, they did it. They act like Rob Marshall hit his stride again. Because he did Chicago, which was good. Then he did a bunch of junk. And then he did this, which, I mean, Chicago's not, like, my favorite movie, but,
it's hot.
Like, it's a well-done movie,
you know what
I mean? I personally like this movie a lot more than I liked Chicago, but it's just, it was so fun, and they didn't shy away from the darkness of it still, because the musical, it takes a turn for the dark, and they stuck with it, and I mean, I was so happy after this movie. It's like I could breathe a sigh of relief because they did it. They successfully introduced one of my very favorite musicals to the world in a big way. This was a huge box office success. I was hoping it would get more Oscar buzz. I'm not mad that it didn't. I get why. I understand, like, I would read some reviews and I get where people are coming from and a few of the flaws in this movie. This is one that I don't know from a fully filmmaking perspective. I don't know that I could give it 4 out of 4 stars. Because I get there were a few, the narrative, maybe there were a couple problems here and there, which I think what helps in the musical is it being definitely split up into 2 acts, which you just can't do in the movie the same way. But still, all that aside, I don't really care at all, because this movie just made me so, so happy. Also, Chris Pine is amazing in this. He is so funny. And that's the part I played in high school. Cinderella's Prince, dear to my heart. But he was a huge stand on this movie. A good singer. Just, Zach, you really need to watch it.
I will.
Colby,
when he comes out.
I disagree with this movie. It's hogging up my Johnny Depp time. And I can't handle that.
Johnny Depp was in this movie for 3 minutes, and
he's hogging up my Johnny Depp time.
It was not.
Did you want him to make Mordecai too?
No, I didn't. Like, at that 3-minute window, Tim Burton said, "Hey Johnny, let's do another movie." He's like, "I can't." And then that 3 minute
good.
Window closed.
Good. Stop doing every Tim Burton movie. You made Dark Shadows. That was junk, sir.
But he also made Sweeney Todd.
He also made Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp is no longer the problem. Problem has shifted to Tim Burton. That's another discussion. We'll have a Tim Burton Get Your Life Back on Track episode.
Get your crack again, Tim.
Right after our M. Night Shyamalan Get Your Life Back on Track.
No,
that's
going to
be a series.
Too far gone. We're done. I'm sorry, M. Night. I'm sorry, but we're kind of over that. All right. Go, Zachary. Numero tres.
Number three for me, Whiplash.
Okay. What's your number three,
what
Colby?
What movie is that? Number three, aforementioned, something about walking across tombstones, things like that. Walk Among the Tombstones. Yeah, something like that. Walk Among the Tombstones, my number three. It was a Colby movie. Liam Neeson's, though.
It had a Fincher feel to it. did it not? I'm sorry, I just stepped on something you probably had written down.
My notes. Barry Fincher-y.
Yes. Fincher-esque. Early
it
Fincher.
Was, and I said nice. This. It was, for me, it was Seven mixed with Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, okay.
It was very much yes. those two.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm going to like this movie or not. I'll pray about it.
Okay. It was so good. It wasn't a complete shock that it was a good movie, but it was definitely a lot more than I had it build up to.
It was just a different movie.
It was. It was one of those movies. Like yeah. you would seriously think this movie was directed by Fincher, like he did, you know, one after Gone Girl. But it was so good. There's an awesome twist in the middle that you kind of see it coming, you kind of don't see it coming. I really loved it. It had all my favorite elements to it. And number three,
Welcome to Tombstones. My number one and my number two are interchangeable. I love them equally for different reasons. Both of you, if you think about it, should know what they are because they're two movies I'm obviously going to talk about that I haven't yet. I'm going to start with my number...
Start with number one.
Well... I'll talk about this one first. It's one that, because it's one Zach's already talked about. That movie is the Lego Movie. I'll say this about the Lego Movie. I have not laughed this much in a theater in a long time. I literally cried. I was laughing so hard. The humor is so up my alley. But
it was quick.
So smart.
Yeah.
And every time Batman is on screen, I just cried. It's my favorite Batman movie. That kind of sums up my feelings about this entire movie, is that it's my favorite Batman movie.
It is not my favorite Batman movie.
But, I mean, I...
But that was the funniest Batman since George Clooney.
Just when he... There's this part and where Batman is... he's like, he has this girlfriend named Wild Style. And he's like, so, this is a song I wrote. And he starts playing it, and it's just like really heavy guitar, and he's just like, Darkness, Orphan, Dead Parents. I just love it.
This is a movie that the parents who take their kids to see it will...
Don't get it.
Well, no. I think the parents would be just as rewarded or even more so.
More amused. Because
there are
children.
So many... Like, like Shrek. Or one of those movies.
Or just like a Pixar movie. Well, no.
Yeah, but there are even more...
There's so many pop culture references.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so many. There's this running gag where... Green Lantern, played by
Jonah
Hill,
yeah.
keeps trying to like hang out with Superman, played by Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
and Channing Tatum's like, dude, you'll never be part of the main superheroes, and it's hilarious just the way they do it.
22 Jump Street has too much of a reach. It has. Did you catch? There was a joke in 22 Jump Street about the sequel of the 22 Jump Street, and Channing Tatum says, I heard they got Cate Blanchett for that one. What he was referring to was How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Because
Jonah Hill was in it.
Yeah. And it came out on the same day.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was very same writers, the meta, that's them. That this movie is so full of it. And I love movies that poke fun at themselves. I love them. I love that writing style when someone is aware of all the problems that they should be facing, and because they can address them, they're in on the joke, and that makes the joke so much funnier. It's like things that don't take themselves too seriously. They're just so few and far between, and I loved it.
It was very... This could have been an episode of Community where Abed thought that they were Legos.
It had very much Community-like humor. I mean, very
But
much.
Those two guys, they just have that Community 30 Rock-ish...
Yeah, okay, and that is my humor. That just is. So this movie was made for me
very
to love. And I love
It was hilarious.
I think I saw it three, not really on purpose, but I didn't end up seeing it three times in theaters, just with different people. But the thing is, I was okay with it. I laughed so hard every single time. The Lego Movie for the win, for all the wins, number two. It could be my number one, but I'll save my number one for the one that I haven't really discussed.
Number two for me is the funniest movie I saw all year. Also has the best soundtrack all year.
No, it's coming.
That movie is Guardians of the Galaxy.
I can't hate you for it.
I'm a little confused, but keep going. No, I mean, I understand this pick, but
when I first read about Guardians of the Galaxy, in fact, we discussed it on the boat.
We did. We're pretty excited.
And no, I was yeah, like, I Guardians was, of the Galaxy, I don't know what the crap that is. Like, this was like 2 years ago. This was like, anyways, and even still, like, even after seeing the cast and everything, I was like, this just sounds so weird, and the trailer looked really weird, but looked like this could be amazing, and it was. This movie was hilarious to me. It is crazy that they got the two biggest stars that are in the movie to do voiceover work. Bradley Cooper is one of the biggest things in Hollywood right now, and he plays a raccoon. And then you got Vin Diesel, who is just extremely recognizable
with one line.
Yeah, and he
says it a lot.
Kills it. This was my favorite Vin Diesel role.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean,
no doubt
since The Pacifier.
But no, and I love the Fast and the Furious movies, but he, I don't know, he was awesome in this. I thought Bradley Cooper gave a, it was a full-on performance. Like, it, you could kind of tell it was Bradley Cooper, but then again, like, you were sort of questioning, that was, like, is that
what
really,
was,
is that
what
Bradley
was funny
Cooper?
Was everybody I, you know, talked to who's not, like, researching movies like we do.
Yeah.
Were like, I couldn't tell who the raccoon was.
Yeah.
I was like, it's Bradley Cooper. I
yeah.
mean, I mean, deadly with a rocket, deadly with a sniper rifle, I mean. Man's all over
that's true. I love this movie, man. Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt quickly becoming the celebrity I most want to be friends with.
I just want to hang out with that dude. He seems so awesome, and it's crazy that, well, now he's got this, which...
But before this, like, essentially it was Parks and Rec.
No, that was it. He
I
was
mean, there,
in
there
Zero
been
Dark
some other,
30.
Like, funny movies that he's
well,
done, but...
Yeah, he was in Her. He was in Zero Dark 30.
He was in,
He had some small roles.
What was that movie?
He was in the weird one with Vince Vaughn about the sperm donor.
Oh, yeah, he played his... I don't know which one.
Siegel movie.
Five-Year Engagement.
Five-Year Engagement.
Yep, yeah. He was in
he
that.
Was in
I remember him singing...
it's a Spanish song.
Yeah, the Spanish song.
Yeah. So, basically, if you
marrying
watched...
Allison Brie in that movie.
If you watched Parks and Rec, you knew who he was. But in 2014, he did the Lego Movie. And then he did this.
Yeah, goes from this to that. There we go.
Two of the highest grossing movies of the year.
And
two
the
of the
funniest,
top five,
just the best. Guardians was great. It could have been my list.
But... He's also in the new Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's confirmed yet.
He's
I'd be the new
Indiana Jones.
Which I'm okay with. This movie was directed by James Gunn, which is funny because he also did Scooby-Doo 2. Did he do 1 and 2?
No, Roger Gosnell did.
Okay, so he did Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, and Slither.
Not I've seen both. I've seen more of his filmography than I have most of my directors on this list.
not the guy that you would think to hand over the keys to the most obscure franchise that Marvel has started.
You gotta think about the process that goes into. I want the guy who did Monsters Inc. and Slither to direct this movie.
Not Monsters Inc.
Scooby-Doo
Monsters Unleashed.
Even worse. Right. Like
no,
even
it was
crazy.
Wasn't it Monsters Unleashed? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's it. That's never mind. I screwed up. Monsters.
I really love this movie. Wait. Saw it this summer. God, it was great. Saw it 3 times in theaters. Saw it IMAX opening day. Awesome.
I saw it once. It was on Blu-ray. I liked it. That was about it.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done a little bit more with, what was his name?
You're talking about Dax the Destroyer by Batista.
Yeah, well, a little bit more with them. He had a pretty decent size role.
Well, no, he was funny too.
He was probably the part that made me laugh the most.
He was he was very funny.
With his inability to catch metaphors.
Yeah.
I'm talking Lee Pace, the villain. He was awesome. The blue, not the blue guy, but the main villain.
Yeah,
okay.
That's, I call him the sassy elf king from The Hobbit. That's what he will always be known as for me now.
I wanted Fandral. More of him.
I wanted more of the Cajun guy who had
Michael
the arrow.
Rooker.
Yeah, Michael
from
Rooker.
Slither.
Huh. Yeah. And
from School Circle.
Also, just good to have Benicio del Toro back on screen.
I wish they would have put him in a little bit bigger role.
That part was him, though.
It was, definitely. But yes, any movie with Benicio del Toro in it at least gets 1 star for me.
Yeah.
All right. Number two.
My favorite X-Men movie of all the X-Men movies, based on an X-Men character, not really, Nightcrawler. Directed by Dan Gilroy, written by Dan Gilroy, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Bill Paxton. It's either Reen or Rene Russo.
Rene.
And Riz Ahmed, everybody's favorite.
Oh, so good.
Supporting actor. Dan Gilroy, the director and writer, wrote The Bourne Legacy and Real Steel.
Yep. First-time director?
First-time director. And this is a movie I had absolutely no hopes for. Well, not... I won't say no hopes. I had no expectations for. I went in thinking, that's another Gyllenhaal movie. Plot looks okay. We'll see how it goes. I love this movie. I loved it. Well, I loved it more than literally all other movies this year but one. And I bought it yesterday and I rewatched it again last night. Phenomenal. I thought the story, it was crazy. It was just original. And it's funny because it's about, as a Nightcrawler, Jake Gyllenhaal is he's a very weird guy named Lewis Bloom, who never blinks, and he's kind of homeless, and not really homeless, but he's kind of a homeless guy.
He kind of looks like a raccoon in this.
Well, the whole thing agreed with the directors and Jake Gyllenhaal was there was this coyote theme.
Okay, coyote. Good. There we go.
And which fits perfectly, and that's why I love Jake Gyllenhaal so much. It's just because he's always got this thing with his character that he can do, and but yeah, so basically he goes out kind of looking at news stories. You know, the gorier and the bloodier they are, the better they are, the more money he can make from him. And he learns he can manipulate these scenes and make a little more money. And he has no conscience. And basically things get very out of hand in this movie. And
the end? Is.
The end's great, and it's what's cool is just it's this slow, steady build from what stories he covers all the way to the end. It just gets more and more and more intense the whole time, and I can't say enough good things about this movie. I wouldn't recommend it for the language or the gore or the blood.
Okay,
but.
Or the story you're acting.
No.
Or directing.
It was really
good.
I am trash for liking this movie.
No,
it was. I recommend it to anybody who can sit through a good bit of language and a tiny bit of blood. And
what was your opinion?
I know Zach saw it.
Yeah, Cole, we went and saw it Halloween night.
Yeah, it was Halloween night. It was Halloween
night. It seems like a good night to watch this movie.
I like this movie a lot. Gyllenhaal was awesome. My only complaint was it didn't quite go dark enough for me.
And it
could have.
What's funny is, at the end of it, because my dad watched it, and he, you know, at the end where the vans drive off, it was just kind of like, he's like, I was waiting for the rest of the movie to happen. And it kind of has that, but it's, yeah. I love it. It would be a good first installment to a sequel. But
it reminds me a lot of Drive. Reminds me a lot of Drive.
Okay. See, I'll need to check that out now.
You need to watch Drive.
This movie, it did it for me. And I thought one of the coolest things, at least about this particular movie, and kind of Gone Girl, was the role the media plays. And what a perfect time to comment on the media in the world than this year.
Oh, Brian Williams.
And how they manipulate
and
everything.
Ferguson and...
Well,
all the big media stories. It's just crazy. And then you see this and you see Gone Girl and there's just...
Yep.
Lots of things to be said in these movies.
And I don't know that that's quite the message that they were intending to deliver.
But it's the one that... It's still a statement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you watch this, you will question the news from here on out. Which you should anyway.
Yeah. My number one movie of the year, because we are finally, praise God, to that point in the podcast, goes to a film that I watched today. It is a film that I've been putting off watching for a long time for reasons I don't really understand. Just, no. Just got a little, almost, it's like I wanted to see it, and then I got it to watch, and then it just took a long time, and I was like, oh, it's kind of a long movie, I have to sit down and do it. So I wasn't dreading it, but I was putting it off, because I knew it was going to be a serious investment, and I was like, am I going to get around to it? I am so glad I watched Boyhood before we did this, because I have never seen anything like it in my entire life.
I think heavily impacted your list. That was an accurate description.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of surpassed
it. It did, though. It did. And this is one... Because, in case you don't know, and you hopefully do, but you might not, the director of Boyhood... Oh, first of all, Boyhood, story, boy named Mason... And it is a story of his life from like age
6 to 18.
It's 12 years of his life.
12 years of white kid.
Here is what is so fascinating about this movie. So the director started when the kid was 6. They would film for a few weeks every summer until he was 18. It's like filmed at the ages. So you see a child grow up before your eyes.
So it's always during the summer?
The movie itself, like, the scenes are not all set in the summer, but they would just get...
And it doesn't, like... They live in Texas.
So it's the same.
So it's not really...
It could be, like, cold, but still not looking outside.
Exactly. Okay. But just when they would film, they would do it over the summer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you literally see him grow up before your eyes, but it's not just that, it's... You know, there are so many cultural references, but they're just honest. Like, you see kids playing the original Halo, but it's like, because for these kids, like, that's a very regular thing they'll be doing. It opens with this girl, with his older sister, like, singing, I think it was like, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yep.
And she knows every word to it and all the choreography, but it's because she actually would have been a kid who was watching that music video. It's just... Nothing about it is contrived or fake. It's not a movie where just like a ton happens exactly, but it's the story of a life.
No, life happens.
That's
what happens.
Life happens. I have never,
TBS,
ever seen a more realistic movie. And I'm very, my preferred style in movies and plays and books and anything is realism. I love things that just seem like you're holding a mirror up to real life. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite kind of anything. So, I mean, this was like a mind explosion for me because I'd never seen anything. And I know I was reading, the movie got insanely good reviews. It's very likely going to win an Oscar for Best Picture. There's a good chance anyway. And so I was reading reviewers who were less enthusiastic about it. And they're like, I mean, it's a movie where not a lot happens. Like, it's okay at best. And you missed the point. It's a movie unlike anything that's ever been done. It captures life better than any movie I've ever seen. And especially for our generation, it's a statement on broken homes and on single parents and on growing up being so influenced by the media. Here's what it is. It's the kid who thinks he's the kid from Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
But this is not a John Green novel. This is not Perks of Being a Wallflower. This is not some teen show. Like, it has nothing in common with those. It's what all those people are trying to capture. This captures. It is, I just couldn't, it's like I couldn't even handle it as I was watching it because of how realistic it was. And growing up roughly in the same time as this kid, we're a little older.
Yeah.
A few years older.
But most of the, a lot of the references just, I had immediate flashbacks. Just like,
I mean, whoa. For it to be made right here at this time, it's perfect time because I was reliving my own boyhood.
Yep.
And I was reminded of myself. I was reminded of all my friends and his experiences. Oh, it was...
Yeah, no, that's another thing. Like, I thought, oh, I experienced that, or my friend went through that same exact with thing. Everything. Yeah.
They have this one scene. And boyhood, like, here's the deal. There's language. There's crudeness at times. But it's also within context.
Yeah.
That's one thing I really appreciated, is I never felt like they were throwing out F-words for the sake of throwing out F-words. People say them, but in situations where these people would say the type of people, the type of situation. Another thing I appreciated, it is one of the most realistic depictions of, like, Southern Christian old people that I've seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Just real, like, that is what it is, you know, kind of backwoods Southern Christian old people.
My favorite.
Good old Texas Christians. It was just... The Patricia Arquette's going to win an Oscar, and I think it's so deserved because it's such a natural performance as his mom.
Yeah. This was the best Ethan Hawke, I think, has ever been.
I think so. I mean, it took him 12 years to get here, but I mean, I could go on and on, but I won't. All I've got to say, though, is it's a phenomenal film, and I've never seen anything like it, and I am very, very happy that I watched it. And it completely deserves my number one of the year.
It was very, very good. And just the achievement itself,
yes,
is just, it's unbelievable. I don't know what will happen if... He either has to win Best Director or this has to win Best Picture. One of those two has got to happen.
I'll set something on fire.
Or, something bad will happen, I think.
I don't know what, but something.
Yeah, but it is funny, the two movies that took the most chances this year are the two that are the front runners, obviously, but they're different and so...
They're both game changers.
Yeah,
Birdman
for different reasons.
And Boyhood are both game changers.
For different reasons.
Oh, for absolutely different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if Boyhood would have been one take.
I can't... Yeah.
Well?
I don't remember if I said this on our Oscar podcast or if I said it when I was just talking to you two. Boyhood is what Michael Keaton's character was trying to accomplish in the movie Birdman.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to capture life, and that's what Boyhood did.
Just better than any movie I've ever
really
ever seen.
Okay.
On the count of three, you want to say your number one at the same time? One, two, three.
Divergent fast. Okay, no, Colby and I share number one. That movie is
Interstellar.
Okay. Low budget. Low budget movie.
Some guy.
What if we spent? Let's spend 2 hours right now. Discussing it.
Well, we haven't talked about it yet, so I really think like this is the time to discuss Interstellar. I mean,
I'm going home. Wait, I am home. You'll have to leave.
Yep, Interstellar, my number one. Colby's number one.
Surprise! Before we go.
Okay, go ahead.
Why did either Boyhood or Nor Whiplash make your list? Curious.
Or did Whiplash was number three for me. Boyhood, I replaced Boyhood with Wish I Was Here.
Okay.
I enjoyed it more.
That's what I was going to say, because I get it. It's different
for everyone. Boyhood is a way better movie, but I just enjoyed that one more.
Yeah, in the way that...
And they are similar. Whiplash, obviously.
I think Whiplash... Like, Whiplash was number five. I can say it was, in some ways... a better movie, and a movie even I appreciated more, but I'm going to rewatch The Wind Rises, The Lego Movie, Into the Woods, mm-hmm. and Boyhood more than I will rewatch Whiplash.
I was going to say, I was surprised that he had it lowest on the list.
Me too, because I actually...
My top five, though, were all...
Yeah, no, I get it.
Game time decision. I switched Under the Skin and Whiplash to make it tied with his. Because I was like, I can't be lower than him. He loved Whiplash, and I thought it was really, 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 really good. And he loved it.
It was a good year for movies that I ended up absolutely
I thought for most of the year, this is a crap year for movies.
And then that is the way I thought for most of the year.
But then when I finally caught up on everything, and everything that had flown under the radar, this was a really, really good year.
That's what's funny is, because I listed all the movies I watched, and... I think 1, 2, 3, 4 made my list that I did not watch in the last 2 months for the first time. So like Interstellar, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Nightcrawler, and I think it was another
one. Even those came out in the last part of the year.
Not A Million Ways to Die, that came out way early. Interstellar was later, Nightcrawler was later. And
I had five that I didn't watch. I didn't see for the first time in the past 2 months.
So like I watched Birdman today.
I don't have a clue.
That's about it.
So those are the floaties. And we're gonna go.
John David is much less enthusiastic here at the end than he was at the beginning.
I'm very tired.
I do find I wanna know if you're gonna regret this one day because you just watched Boyhood. I wanna know if that's gonna change. One day, you're gonna regret making that number.
Oh, yeah, immediately.
Because you did just watch it.
I don't think so. I think I know when I've seen a game changer, and this was. I mean, it's the achievement of the film. It's once you see, you'll understand. It's just you've never seen anything like it in your life. For some people, it will be really boring. I think.
Yeah.
But it's in my wheelhouse. Everything about it.
It is. When I first saw it, it was on my list. But the more movies I saw, the further down I fell. And that's just how
it wound up. It's a character-driven drama about young people that's like hyper-realism. That's everything I want in a movie is in Boyhood. I mean, it could be one of those movies that actually becomes one of my favorite movies. So
it is good. I'll have to watch it again sometime. But then again, I don't want to devote 3 hours.
It's 3 hours. It's like
just actually, Boyhood is shorter than the podcast that we have recorded. So,
oh my god!
On that note,
bye, y'all.
Good night. Good luck. Drive safe. You stay classy.